Thank you for joining me on Glorious Living today. I believe that you're going to be blessed because we have so many exciting things to talk about. Our good friend Fritz Brown will be back. You're going to love it. You know, it's so wonderful to know that we can live a glorious life in Jesus. And this is why I have this program. It's why my friend Chrissy is with me today.
Yes, and I love Jesus, Miss Kathy. I just felt like I had to say it. I love him. It's so wonderful.
And the fact that he wants us to have a good life and that he left a beautiful place called heaven to come here.
Thank
you, Lord.
He didn't
have to leave heaven.
No, he didn't.
Everything was pretty. He came for us, died on the cross for us. And because of him, we can have a wonderful life. Not just us, but our family, the whole world has a chance at an eternal life as well as a good life on this earth.
That's glorious living. That's it.
It
on
totally
earth
is.
As it is in heaven, divine healing, divine health, divine life. It's all available for you. And this program is meant to make you realize that, take hold of it, and walk it out in your everyday life.
That's right. And we love that you're watching. We hope that you'll send us comments and let us know, even a thumbs up or a heart, or share it with someone.
Yes.
And we love it when you tell us how this program is impacting your life and all the other outreaches that we have in the ministry.
Yeah.
Do you have a story for me
today? Oh, I definitely do. It's always great to share these glorious stories with you watching. I know it will bless you. It says, I started giving because I just had to do something. I was listening to Jesse and Kathy, and it was so edifying and faith-strengthening. Now, my youngest son accepted the Lord. My oldest son, who was unemployed, got a job after 3 years of unemployment. Now, I'm a partner. And she put it in all capital letters, and she says, I danced in the joy of the Lord in my living room. My household is blessed beyond measure. Amen.
I love that. You know, a lot of people don't know that they can have a good life in Jesus. This is why I love hearing stories how people are catching it.
Yeah.
They're catching the good truth of God's word, that God came to give them a good life.
Yes, life in abundance, overflowing.
Yeah, and the guest we have today has been a witness to what God's done in our lives for so many years. We're excited to welcome back Fritz Brown to Studio C. Not only was he our first employee at the ministry, but also he has recently celebrated his 40th year of service here at the ministry. You know, and he's currently our product distribution supervisor and also serves as the Louisiana State Director for Christians United for Israel. Fritz is here today to discuss God's covenant with Israel and how that covenant is important for believers all over the world. Thank you, Fritz, for being back.
There
he
is.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Chris.
Faithful Fritz.
I appreciate you all inviting me back on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, we love it. I know you often say you're not an Israel expert, but compared to us, maybe you are.
Definitely.
But, you know, it's just such an important subject because God loves His people, the Jewish people, and we love them as well. And I know that God has given you a love for the Jewish people. You've made a lot of connections. You have been to Israel. I've been years ago, Jesse and I went with Brother Savelle and Carolyn. And it was a wonderful experience. But just to know that God still has a plan for the whole world, and it's connected to that nation of Israel.
Absolutely.
Totally is.
Yeah, some people, you know, try to put everything on the church and they forget about Israel. That's kind of called replacement theology, which is not
which I don't believe in.
Yeah, it's not a cool thing at all. But Israel has a vital part of what God's doing. It chose Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. And through that relationship, just made a whole bunch of promises to Israel. And even though we may be Gentiles, we're connected to Israel through our Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, who's from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah, we're engrafted. We're part of the family. God has one family,
right?
And we're part of the family of faith. We're actually, because of the blood of Jesus, we believe in Jesus. And the Bible talks about how we're the seed of Abraham, who was the first to believe God by faith. God called him out of his nation, which was a heathen nation.
That's right.
They were idolaters, right?
That's right, Haran.
And then he brought him in and he revealed himself to him. But Abraham still had a responsibility to obey God. So he called him out. He says, I'm going to bring you to a land that I'm going to show you. And that's the land of Israel.
That's exactly
That's the land that still belongs to the nation of Israel. Everybody's trying to take it, but God said who it belongs to.
There's always been people living in Israel since the Jewish people left Egypt. There's always been people there, even though they've been exiled. There's always been a few, at least, that have remained in that land over the millennia, you know, the last three millennia. People have always been there.
Yeah, and when Jesus comes back to the earth, that's where he's going to put his foot, right?
That's exactly right.
Place. We're connected to that land.
That's exactly right.
That's important to God, so it's important to us.
Well, you know that God promised the land to Abraham. He made the covenant with him. He promised him verbally that he would have that land. But Abraham died, and he was still living in as a stranger in that property. Mm-hmm. And the sages teach that when Messiah comes, he will, of course, resurrect Abraham from the dead, and he will show the world, so to speak. He'll grab Abraham around the shoulder and said, I'm now giving you all this land today in front of the whole world.
Wow.
Pretty powerful.
Wow, I like that.
That's pretty powerful.
That's right. That's absolutely amazing.
I know, Jill, you're such a student of the Hebrew, of course, the scriptures as well. Mm-hmm. You study with the rabbis, but I know you helped Jesse to get all his books there in our house, and he loves reading through those. And so it's important to know those things what the sages teach. Of course, it's not, can't compare it with the Bible, but just in the same way we read other books, we read those along and there helps.
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of times when I was, for my 30th anniversary 10 years ago, you and boss, Brother Jesse, blessed me with a wonderful library, quite a few books, several hundred books in my library. And I just been devouring those books, reading things, and you'd be surprised at how much I write notes all over in the Talmud and different things like that, how much Paul is saying the same thing that some of these guys are saying in the Talmud. It's the revelation they have. I'm like, wow, God, you know, Paul said this, you know, Jesus said this, just writing all over in there. It's amazing how, you know, some people say, well, it's not necessarily in the Bible. But if you read the Talmud, there's a lot of things. They're quoting scripture, and they're breaking
Tell
down the commentary.
Tell people what the Talmud is, Fritz. Well, not everybody knows.
Sure, the Talmud. First of all, to explain what the Talmud is, you have to first, for ease, talk about the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's called the written Torah. Then there's another thing called the oral Torah. People explain that as saying that Moses, as he wrote down the written Torah, he explained things to Joshua and said, God didn't tell me to write this down, but this is what this means. He orally transmitted that to Joshua. And then from there, that's also called the Oral Torah or the Mishnah, the same thing. And then from there, to answer Kathy's question there, the Talmud is the commentary of the rabbis that lived, you know, a couple of thousand years ago. They're explaining the Mishnah, which is the Oral Torah, and the Mishnah is explaining the written Torah, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, sound like an expert to me. That was awesome. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just think that, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired every writer of all 66 books of the Bible. That's where the Bible is so actually beautiful. The word book. And they call it Holy Bible because it's God's book. And so all of these were inspired by the Holy Spirit, even in the New Testament, which we study. You really can't understand the New Testament unless you know some of the old. In fact, I've been teaching in the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews is written to people who were Jewish Christians.
That's right.
And so they had a full knowledge already. So it already springs in the things they assume you already know. And so it's a little more complex, but it's very interesting to read and to study to see how it all connects together. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law.
Yep.
He was the fulfillment of the law. And so the law is not a bad thing, although people want to put it down
they don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
I mean, Jesus quoted from the Torah over 80 times in the Gospels. Paul quoted from the Torah over 100, quoted or alluded to the five books of Moses over 120
times
in his epistles.
Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy more than any other. And then Isaiah, I think, is the most quoted book of the Old Testament in the New. And so they're all connected, and it's so important.
One of the reasons why I feel personally that Isaiah is one of the largest prophetic books, 66 chapters in it, is because Isaiah simply said, Lord, here am I, send me.
I love that.
And God just used him in a mighty way.
I love his testimony in chapter 6, I think it is, where he has his basically his ordination, where he directs himself to God, and he says that phrase, here I am, use me. But he saw God, and he saw his temple filled.
That's right.
Oh, I love
with the train
verse.
Of his temple filled him
Can
up.
You imagine the sight of that?
Oh, my, mm-hmm. I cannot.
That's powerful. That was a powerful revelation.
And that's
revelation.
The God we serve. He's so big and so glorious and wonderful. And, you know, I love that how you make those connections, because there's so much going on with Israel right now and the current state of affairs it's in. It's so important for us as Christians to pray. What do you say to those Christians who maybe are like, sometimes I mention Israel, but it's not on my top priority list. You know, would you say to them about the importance of prayer for the Israeli people?
There was a lot of things to say about that. I'll just say this part here. The Bible says that if you pray for Israel, they will prosper. So if you want to prosper, pray for Israel. I posted something on Facebook a while back, a number of years ago, and it was before all the stuff happened in Gaza and everything. And I posted on there, if the Palestinians want to be blessed by God, start blessing Israel. Well, you would be surprised at some of the remarks I got on Facebook.
Shocked,
people,
huh? Mm-hmm.
Some people did not like that. But that your connection to blessing Israel, God said he's obligated because he said in his word, mm-hmm. he would prosper those who love
him. And
you.
He even tells you what to pray for them. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
That's right, the shalom.
So peace is important to God. And what's peace? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Mm-hmm. Peace is God's tranquility. It's his will. Right. In the land. And so most people don't care about God's will. They just want what they want.
Wow.
But we want what God's will is and what the Word of God reveals what His will is.
The Word of God is so powerful. I was thinking over the last few days, some people think that that healing started on Calvary, but it started way beyond that because the Scripture says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And you have all of that effect in God's mind before the foundation of the earth. The prosperity was there. The healing was there. The marriage, fixing your marriage, whatever problems you have was already settled in the mind of God through that Lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Praise
all the answers were there.
Man, that's so good. And it goes so perfectly with our theme. We've been talking about it on previous episodes of giving God a job. So that job was already done before the foundations of the world. Whatever you need, it's available.
That's right.
It's already there for us to grab hold of. All we have to do is take it, believe it, and step out in faith.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the key. There's faith.
Yeah. I love the fact that God, He saw the problem before it ever before we ever needed an answer, he gave it to us. Before
That's
the
right.
problem occurred, he gave us an answer. Jesus died before, you know, he died, of course, on the cross at Calvary. But before that ever happened, he saw the need for mankind. He says, I'm going to create mankind. They're going to sin. They're going to need a Savior. And I'm going to send Jesus. It was like Jesse has described it this way. It was like a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
I'm going to need somebody to go down the cross. Son said, I'll go. Mm. And so you're dead, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they saw it in the timeless past, what would happen in eternity. And that one act affects all of mankind. It rescued mankind from the trap that Satan set in the Garden of Eden.
The answer came before the problem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of God we serve. So he says, give me a job is our theme that we've been talking about the last couple of programs, how it's important that we use that phrase because it's a theme that we have for this year, of course, that God gave Jesse, where he says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, where God is talking to Abraham. So if God himself says, is anything too hard for me? He's asking us that question. And we have to search our soul and say, well, really? Think about the God who created the universe, who flung the stars with his hand. He measured the world with the span of his hand. Think about the span, which is the tip of your little finger to the tip of your thumb. And then he says, I measured the oceans in the hollow of my hand, which is that little cavity that you have in the middle of your hand, the whole of the oceans.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
good.
Think about that, how big our God is. No, there's nothing too hard for him.
Exactly.
What's hard is us getting this brain out of the way, getting our experience out of the way, and just trusting him. You know, he has a solution for every problem that has ever been on the earth. We just need to look to him and ask him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know.
You quoted the scripture in Genesis 18:14, which is boss or Jesse's theme for the year. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I was looking over that scripture over the weekend, and it's very powerful. God had already spoken the promise to Abraham and Sarah. And, you know, they've been hanging on to this thing. You can have a son, you know, which became in Isaac. But the promise was already given to them, but they haven't seen the fulfillment yet. Sarah wasn't pregnant yet. The Bible says in that chapter that she was past the age of childbearing.
Yeah.
So when God came to them, he was saying, is anything too wondrous or too wonderful? Or as one translation says, he'd already given them the whole entire promise of a nation that would come from that union, that marital union. And he says, I'm going to fulfill that promise to you, even though you and your husband may appear to be as dead and can't reproduce. But that's powerful. God had already seen the whole nation. All they had to do was receive it by faith.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about when you talk about this thing too wonderful, that many times when the Bible uses the word thing, it's referring to the word.
That's right.
Because when when the angel spoke to Elizabeth, how she would have a child and how how Mary would also have a child. And that's one of the phrases that we always love to quote, is anything too hard for the Lord? Thing was, and I think the Amplified says, is there any word that is impossible of being fulfilled? So this thing is God's word.
It's, that's right, it's the word that he promised to
them. The word that he promised to them, and that's not impossible. There's nothing too hard for. So you see it throughout the Bible, how God is, in fact, that's what the book is all about. Every chapter is other impossible looking thing that people would say, can God do this? Mm-hmm. And example after example, which is so powerful. I know if you haven't gotten this book, you really need to get it because it will really touch
your life. It really is wonderful. On the back, I just want to read this line. It says, "And give God a job, you will be challenged to stretch your faith like never before. It will encourage you to shake off the opinions of believers who don't believe." That's so powerful, isn't that?
Believers who don't believe. It's like an oxymoron, huh? But that's the truth. You know, a lot of believers who really haven't gotten to the place of believing. But you know, God's patient with us. Because all of us have had a journey in our faith. Maybe we didn't believe as strong as we do today because we really didn't know him that well. Until you get to know someone, you don't really know how far you could trust their word. And the only way you can get to know God is through his word.
That's right.
And so we see time after time where he did the miraculous. When people believed him, they were able to do the miraculous. Peter was able to walk on the water because Jesus put his hand out and said, come. And he was able to walk on the water. I mean, just think about it. It's so many. I mean, we could be here for days talking about all the great things God has done.
And it's all in there, but it's also available to us as well. All those promises that we read in the Bible from the beginning of time to the end of the book, that's all for us. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us and equip us to walk through this life and live gloriously.
Amen. That reminds me of a story. It was around Passover a few years ago. And I would go to study, as Kathy mentioned, I would study with some rabbis, and we'd have probably 8 or 10 people that would meet once a week with the Orthodox rabbi. And right before Passover, I went over to the synagogue and walked in, kind of rushed into the room. There's nobody in there. I'm thinking, maybe I missed an email. Maybe they're, didn't have it
this
week.
Did the rapture happen? No.
And then all of a sudden, the rabbi comes in and he looks around. And he says, it looks like it's just you and I. Okay. I said, okay. He said, you ready to study? I said, absolutely. So he gave me his little paper with his notes on it. And he read a couple of lines on it. And he says, what do you think of that? And I said, well, Rabbi, I said, I just got through studying probably 20 or 30 hours over the weekend, just sitting in the Word all day long. And I took him from, looking at the book of James. And in the book of James, it talks about the faith of Abraham. Kathy mentioned that a little bit. Abraham's faith. And so I took him from James chapter 2, the faith of Abraham with offering up his son Isaac. And I took him to Genesis, where he was familiar with Genesis 12. Then we went back to James 2, Genesis 13. Mm-hmm. And James 2, Genesis 14, went all the way through the life of Abraham. And I was talking to him and showing him that the whole life of Abraham is recorded to show us the progression of faith. Where was Abraham's faith when he lied about his wife to the king of Egypt? What was his faith in certain periods of his life? But when it came down to around Genesis 22, when God said, Abraham, he says, here I am, Lord. He says, please give me your son. Offer him up as a burnt offering. Abraham's faith, that was, some of the sages say, because when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, she was 90 years old. Right after the incident happened, which is called the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, it's right after the incident, it said Sarah died. And she was 127. So if you look at that, Isaac wasn't a young man when he was sacrificed. And if you back up even further, when God first called Abraham out, he was 75 years old. He gave him the promise. Well, if Sarah's 127 and she died, that means that Abraham was 137. So you do the math between 75 when he first called him and 137 when he offered up Isaac. That was a progression of over, I believe it was 62 years, I believe it is. My math is right. 62 years, his faith coming in. It just wasn't all of a sudden, hey, I'm the perfect man when he was 75. He had to go through a progression. So that speaks to us as normal human beings that we may make mistakes too, like Abraham, but it's a progression of our faith. Where we can finally come to the point where God, whatever you want, God, I've got it. I'll put my entire faith and trust in you.
That's wonderful. Putting that in perspective, too, to talk about how, you know, it's a progress, step by step. We don't have to get it right all at once, that God has mercy on us and He'll see us through it till the end. Yeah, it's so powerful.
A life of faith doesn't mean it's a life without mistakes.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
And God is so faithful and to forgive us. They said if we confess our sins before Him or our failures before Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us and reinstate us. So we can't give up. I know a lot of people, they've gone on their journey with the Lord and they're frustrated because maybe they haven't achieved what they wanted to achieve or maybe they failed in some way. Mm. But God is always there ready to pick you up and show you, put you in the right direction again. So don't give up on your journey.
That's right.
Abraham had failures. Peter had failures.
That's right.
He denied Jesus, and reinstated him. In fact, Jesus knew it was coming. He says, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, I want you to pray for strengthening the other disciples, brethren. And so God always has a plan for our recovery because He sees that we're living in a fallen world.
Yes.
And there's a real devil out there who's always trying to attack our faith and pull us off track. So God is so kind and so merciful with us through this whole journey.
Yeah.
So God's saying to you today that are watching today, don't give up. Don't give up on your faith. It's a precious thing. Just trust God to help you to navigate that next step. Well, you don't have to think about the next 10 steps. Just think about that one next step. And He's going to guide you and reveal Himself because He's the Holy Spirit has been given to us to lead us into all truth. So we don't have to be caught up in the failures. We can walk forward and expect. Because that's just give God a job. Say, Lord, my life's a mess.
Oh, man.
I need you to give. Mm-hmm. I want to give you the job of fixing my life, and that may be the job that's pressing on your heart today. I believe that God has brought you here to this program to give you that example to let you know that He can handle it.
Ooh,
no matter where you are in life, He can pick you up and help you to go into the right direction so that you can have a life, a fulfilling life with Him.
That's so
great. I'll just give you a quick testimony related to this ministry. When I first moved from Lafayette to Houma, I was living, you remember, the apartment above the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I was having a big struggle in my life at the time regarding all this faith stuff. And, just wanting, the enemy was bombarding my mind, wanting me to give up and quit. And I remember looking out the window. There was a little table right there, and I could look down and see the street. And I remember looking out that window. And I said, I named several ministers. I said, if it works for this minister, it's going to work for me. If it works for that minister, it's going to work for me. And I made a commitment at that point, that early evening, that I was not going to quit. I was not going to give up. And 40 years later, here I am still.
Yeah, you were just like 19 years old, probably. How old were you?
I was 19 years old when I first went to work for the ministry.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yep. That is so great. And you celebrated 40
That's
years.
That's why Chrissy calls you Faithful Fritz.
Faithful Fritz. Amen. I love it. And learning from you and just how to stick with it. I mean, and so faithful even in your studies. It's really to see the passion for not only serving the ministry for this long, but in your studies for Israel, for the prayers, for to see, you know, Jesus coming back. He's coming back soon. When we talk about this, I actually just love sitting and chatting with you about it because it gets me excited that this is real life, you know? We say, oh, Jesus is coming back, but to really know in your heart, no, He's coming and He's coming for His bride.
Right.
It's so powerful when we truly embrace that truth.
Right.
And
it's
we
not
take
just
it
words,
and live
it's a reality.
It's a reality.
That's right. It burns inside of you. That's what it does for me, especially the last couple of years. I've been studying a lot of things about the eschatology of the last days. And it's just, I feel like, was it Jeremiah that said, there's a fire shut up in my bones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just have that
can't
burning inside
it.
Of me. That's right.
It really is.
That's
and
right.
He doesn't
wonderful.
Want you to contain it, but that's what'll keep you moving and motivated. I mean, it's like a fire inside when you start speaking the word of God, because it's a torch. In fact, there's a message Jesse preached years ago. It's called Grab the Flaming Torch of Faith or something like that.
Yeah.
It's so powerful where I think it's going to be coming out in one of our future magazines because it's such a powerful thing to know that the word of God is alive.
Absolutely.
And it'll burn away the unnecessary things and it'll light your fire so you can be passionate about life and living for God. Amen?
Amen. That's exactly right.
And you know, there's something about the fire of God. It's such a powerful thing. His fire is what kept the Israelites when they were in the wilderness.
That's right.
It protected them, right? Because
That's
it
right.
was a fire all about them, so the enemy couldn't come in, the wild animals couldn't
Praise
come in.
God.
Not only that, it kept them warm.
That's
so
right.
God is such a practical God in that way. And when we look back in the Old Testament, which is what we kind of got on for a while in this program, and we see all God's interaction with them, it should encourage us to just realize that there's nothing that's too hard for our God. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Look how he delivered them so magnificently from the greatest army and nation of that day from Egypt with those 10 plagues. Was it 10?
Right. Yes.
The 10 plagues, and then they led them through the wilderness, fed them all every day. All that manna every day was billions.
Yeah.
If you accumulate, do the cumulative amount that must have been, if it was 3 million people, which a lot of people believe
right.
it was 3 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that in itself, those people saw the miracles of God for 40 straight years.
That's right.
And then, but his plan was never for us to just live in the miraculous. He wanted us to live in the blessing. So he brought them into that promised land.
I like Paul, what he said, and I believe it's Romans 15:8, if I quote it correctly. They may want to put it on the screen. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime
right.
were written for our learning,
right.
that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Mm-hmm. That's a wow. powerful scripture. That's why it was all written
That's
for
right.
us. It was all planned back there for us to look at it and study it and get hope
yeah.
in our heart, because God is a faithful God. He keeps covenant down to 1,000 generations.
Ooh,
He's the
yes.
same yesterday, today, and forever.
Ooh, they still got a lot left to go. I don't think there have been 1,000 generations yet.
Oh, no. Not even close.
This really just empowers me. I know people watching are probably so empowered to go into the Word, to delve in it, to find out what God has for them, all these good things. You know, He's a good, good Father, and He loves His children. So just sitting here and learning from you both, I know that it's going to really just magnify the presence of God in those watching. I really do believe that.
Absolutely.
So
I encourage people to tell their friends to watch this program. There'd be some things that are said that your friends might need to hear as well.
Exactly, to share it. Yeah, share it with your friends and family. Let them know that you can give God a job, and He's willing and able to do anything you can ask, think, or imagine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well
said.
I love it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Fritz, for being with us today. It's been
thank
a great program.
Me.
I always love it when you come, because you stir me up.
Oh, thank you so
you know,
much.
We're both students of the Word. We love to study the Word of God, and I believe that people are watching today are feeling that and encouraged
yes.
to get in the Word yourself, you know, and
Absolutely.
And find out what God is talking to you personally. You know, it's God's personal Word for us. And when we get into it, His Holy Spirit makes it alive.
That's right.
And
that's
it
burning
changes
fire.
It. And it burns like a fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Love
and
it.
I like it.
Yeah, I do. I love it.
Thanks again, Fritz, for being
thank
here.
Thank you for
looking
inviting
forward
me.
To the next
it.
Time.
Amen.
I know it's going to be great. And
yeah.
thank you so much for being with us today. I believe that God has touched your heart and encouraged you to get into the Word of God and find out what He's speaking to you, because He is speaking, and He has a great plan for your life. Actually, it's a glorious life. I hope to see you next week right here in Glorious Living for another great program. God bless.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, a conference for women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.